This short passage moves from faith through danger to deliverance. Well, let's start with that. Sometimes we need to know the ending. We want to understand the significance of what's gone before. Christ's delivering work on the cross should motivate us to keep out of danger and strengthen us to grow in faith. On the cross, God in Christ did three main things for us. Not because we were good and deserving, but precisely because none of us are good and not at all deserving. Hence, the cross expresses God's love for us and his grace in us. Overall, through Christ's crucifixion, God makes us alive with Christ. We were doomed to perish in death. And now we are saved to live the resurrection life. Our salvation life, you see, is not our human life, but Christian life. We're no longer people of nature, broken, sinful, dying, but God's people, forgiven, a people becoming holy, a people living the resurrection life. We are forgiven all our sins. Now, when something very precious to us is said very often, it can become emptied of its meaning. I remember when my father died, I was the executor. There were so many people, from family members and friends to officials, who had to be told. I noticed that through the repetition of the news, there was a sense of drift from the sharing of a grief to the telling of a fact. Death had diminished into data. Perhaps something similar happens to us when we read, hear, say, sing that God has forgiven our sins. Do we feel in our hearts, grasp in our minds, sense deeply in our spirits the depth of the cost to God of our forgiveness? See, God in Christ came to be born as a human being. The creator of all things became a dependent creature. When he entered his ministry, he suffered loss. He suffered rejection. He suffered our suffering. Yes, he reached out in compassion to heal us. Yet he suffered death for us, the greatest act of compassion. He suffered our sins for us. He did not sin, but he took all our sins upon himself and paid their wages in death and came into the depths of separation from God, his Father. And Christ came to repair the problems we had caused. By our sins, we owe God an unpayable IOU. Yet God, through Christ, completely cancels our debt. The bill is paid. Christ has done it. And because the bill is paid, God completely destroys all record of our IOU. It was, it now is not. It no longer bears any testimony against us to anyone who believes in Christ. And because of this, the power of Satan against us has been disarmed. His tyranny over our lives was rooted in sin. When our sins are forgiven, he no longer has any basis for power over us. Now, as an aside, let me stress, he has been disarmed and not yet destroyed. He's still out and about, prowling around us, seeking to bring us down any way he can. But he no longer has dominion over us. We can be delivered from his power, whether he holds it by sins committed before our conversion or sins committed after our conversion. The wages of sin are death. Therefore, because our sins are forgiven, we are freed for life. And Paul symbolizes in mixing together circumcision and baptism. Circumcision was the covenant sign of belonging to God in the old Israel. Now, he says, Christ has cut us off from our sinful nature. Christ has effected what the law, what circumcision could not. Christ has cut us off from our sinful nature. Similarly, he speaks of the symbolism of baptism. In baptism, we go down into the waters of death and rise up to new life. As Christ dies on the cross, so we die with him. As Christ rises to life, so we rise with him. Though, of course, our resurrection must await the new creation to be completely finalized, where then we will live in new, glorious, spirit-led bodies directly in the presence of God. So, as Christ saved people, forgiven of our sins, it's unthinkable that we should downgrade Christ and become captive to sin again. So what Paul is warning us about. He's warning us against hollow, deceptive philosophies dependent on human tradition and the basic principles of the world. The word philosophy then could refer to all sorts of worldviews and magical practices. And what the NIV translates as principles of the world refers in the Greek to the elemental spirits of the world. In modern day terms, think of it like this. Christians should not do horoscopes. Christians should not read tarot cards. Christians should not devote themselves to crystals. Christians should not seek after spirit guides or Tai Chi or anything else. And furthermore, Christians should not be accepting humanism or false religions or organizations which promise to give you Christ plus, such as Freemasonry. But Paul is saying, look, Jesus Christ is the fullness of God. In him, we have the fullness of God. These things are hollow. Christ is the truth. These things are deceiving. Christ is freedom. These things will make you captive again. Christ has broken the power of Satan over us. Why go dancing with demons once more? So Paul calls us to avoid all that danger by living in Christ, by being rooted and built up in him. So recalling verse 122, so that we can be presented holy to God, the judgment court. The cross saves us. It brings us into new life. Salvation, though, is our arrival. It's not our destiny. Our destiny is the new creation. And the journey, the pilgrimage, is holiness. You see, we don't get from salvation to new creation by the passing of time, but by becoming rooted and built up in Christ, by being strengthened in faith. Holiness is Christ-likeness, and Christ-likeness grows in us as we grow in Christ. And all this fact, these promises, they're meant to flow out in us in thanksgiving. Have you heard of Chase Manhattan Bank? Well, apparently 2 years ago, Chase Manhattan decided to end its part in Canada's credit card market. I don't know why, but they did. And it stopped signing up new customers. And then this week, they wrote to all their existing, still remaining customers and completely wiped out any outstanding debt on their credit cards. Whether people owe $10 or $100 or thousands of dollars, their debt was completely wiped out. They were told, you owe us nothing anymore. As one of those most fortunate customers said, financial institutions are capable of forgiveness. How would you feel if your money debt, your mortgage debt, your credit card debt, your overdraft debt was simply wiped away by your bank? Would that cheer you up a bit? Would that lead to some rejoicing? See, Christ has wiped away our sins, our sin debt. as we live in him, therefore, let the fact of that flow in us through thankfulness. And let all that he's done for us motivate us to live in him. Let's pause and let the Holy Spirit work in our hearts his deeper understanding before we come to sing, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross."